Our pericope of scripture this evening is the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Proverbs chapter 30. The words of Augur, the son of Jecah, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy, who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended, who hath gathered the wind in his fists, who hath bound the waters in a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father, and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maiden. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in their summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in king's palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely and going. A lion which is strongest among the beasts, and turneth not away for any, a greyhound, a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And our text this evening is verses 15 and 16. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, "Give, give." There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, "It is enough." The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, "It is enough." May God bless the reading and the preaching of His Word again this evening. As we have gone through besetting sins, dearly beloved, those sins that are so easy to fall into at different times in our life, which one of them is getting in your way of running the race that is set before you with endurance? For we are called to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. And so we have looked at pride. We have looked at envy. We have looked at gluttony. We have looked at lust. We have looked at anger. And now this evening, we look at greed. And so each one of us, as we hear the Word of God, we ask God to search our hearts and to know them, the thoughts of our minds, to show us our sin, that we may be humbled, that we may turn away from that sin. So what is the sin of greed? How can greed be the rottenness in our bones? Well, greed is the insatiable desire. Unsatiable desires. Nothing is enough. The cravings of our heart for more, more, more. Whether it be possessions, whether it be power, whether it be influence, whether it be money. I want more and more. It's not enough. Now it is God who created us to have desires. For we are dependent creatures, and our bodies do hunger, and we do thirst for water to drink. We have needs that have to be met. But now those very desires that God gives to us in our human flesh overtake us. Those desires drive us so that instead of just seeking our life here and serving the Lord, now instead of putting our feet on that path, we're looking for more and more and more of these things. We're not satisfied. We're driven. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Man who is proud and self-sufficient, yet the heart is never satisfied. Greed. The cravings of the human lust or greed, what a merciless tyrant with a great appetite. A couple verses on greed. Proverbs 11 verse 6. "The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness." And modern translations translate that naughtiness as greed. The transgressors will be taken, will be captive to their greed. Proverbs 11, verse 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. The picture is there that in times of need, in order to drive up the demand, the person holds back on the corn that they have. They want more and more money. We've seen that during COVID, haven't we? When there wasn't much toilet paper around. On the news, there was a man who bought a truckload of toilet paper. In order, he figured that he could sell it at 2, 3, 4 times the normal cost. Although somehow they started manufacturing it again, and he wanted to bring back his toilet paper, and the store said, you keep it now. Greed. Or look at the housing markets. You've got these tiny little houses with exorbitant prices. Why? Because the demand is great. Well, here in Proverbs 26, this man is not selling his corn. He's holding on to it because he wants the price to go up. And in that way, he has hurt himself. He doesn't know the blessedness of taking care of someone else's need, to see the smile on their face when he sells his corn cheaply to them so that they may feed their family. Another passage, Proverbs 27, verse 20. Hell, and that could be Sheol, really he's talking about the grave there, not the place that the souls of the damned go. But hell, that is the grave, death, and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Do you get the idea here? The person who desires things is now caught, is captive to those desires. He's never, never satisfied. He wants more. And so in our text this evening, Augur in his Proverbs pictures for us what that terrible, sinful desire or greed is. He gives the picture there of a horse leech, a slug that comes and drinks up blood and is never satisfied with the amount of blood. It always needs more and more and more. And then you got this repetition of these words in this passage about there be three. Yes, there be four. And what that in that Hebrew, there is that ascending order there to represent an indefinite number or representative list. In other words, it's not a complete list. There is so many examples of this particular sin. And now, because he said there are three, no, there are four that do not say it is enough. He gives four of these examples from nature. And he's able to take these examples from nature because God created the world in such a way that earthly things picture spiritually things, don't they? The sun that comes out in the morning, dispelling the darkness, is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, Malachi chapter 4. The rain that comes down, or the dew that comes down, is a picture of God's blessings. The wind that blows is a picture of the Holy Spirit and His power. Well, now we have four examples of it's not enough. I need more, I need more, I need more. First of all, the grave. The grave is never satisfied. Death comes to all without exception, and it's going to keep on coming and taking away until finally it is destroyed by Christ Jesus. The grave always opens up its mouth for more victims. The barren woman. The barren womb. A woman who desires children may be impatient until finally the Lord grants them children. earnestly yearning for that blessing. It's not enough to be barren. The parched soil. It soaks in all the water available and yet it thirsts more, look for more. Look at the deserts in our own land and the dry spots. In the news it shows these different lakes or these behind dams that are almost empty of water. Not enough. Or fire. Flames that continue as long as there is fuel. And so a little spark from a campfire and all of a sudden there are thousands of acres burning. And that burning cannot be contained unless there is a big enough fire break made by the firemen so that the sparks will not blow over in the next part. As James writes, James 3 verse 5, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And that is the desires in the human heart apart from Christ Jesus. Left to ourselves, left to our evil natures, our desires or our greed is never satisfied. We cry out, more, 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 it's not enough. It's like Pharaoh's thin cows as they ate up the other 10 fat cows. And they were not satisfied. They remained thin, still hungry and thin as before. Examples from the earthly. The grave never has enough victims. The barren woman can have enough children. The parched soil can't get enough water. And the fire cannot consume enough acres. And now let's go from that crescendo of needing more and more and more to examples of biblical figures. Probably the very first one we ought to think about, boys and girls, is Adam and Eve. They could have all the fruit that was there in the Garden of Eden. What a lush garden! But it wasn't enough, was it? Because there was one tree that God says, thou shalt not eat of it. And Eve looked, and it was good for fruit. Greed. She wasn't satisfied to be a child of God and to have fellowship with God. She wanted to be equal with God. And so she ate. Or think in the Bible of Lamech, the seventh generation of Cain, the ungodly man. Never before do you read of any of those people having more than one wife, but all of a sudden Lamech, we read, has two women. His desires weren't satisfied with just one. Or think a moment. Think a moment of another one. Lot. Lot, who dwelt with Abraham, that was the church. But the shepherds of Lot and of Abram were fighting over the grass that was there, and Lot looks over at the grass near Sodom and Gomorrah. He's greedy. He's greedy for better flocks, bigger flocks, more grass to feed them. And he leaves the church in order to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did he gain out of it all? He lost everything. He lost his whole family. His wife is a pillar of salt, and his two daughters carry whoredom in their appetites, seducing their father. Greed for more. And that is righteous Lot. Or think a moment of David. Or before David, let's go to Achan. Do you remember that story, boys and girls? The book of Joshua? When they came to Jericho and God destroyed Jericho before their eyes, the walls falling down as they marched around it 7 times on the 7th day. God says, but kill all the men, women, children. Don't take anything for yourself. You burn everything except the silver and the gold goes into the treasury of the house of God. And poor Achan, there in the destruction, he saw this beautiful Babylonian garment. Beautiful. Should he really burn it? And there was all the shekels of silver, and there was that big wedge of gold. And his greed got the best of him, and he took it, and he hid it underneath his tent in the ground. Greed. He and his whole family were stoned. David, who had his stable of wives, but wasn't satisfied with them, he takes the little sheep of his neighbor, Bathsheba, into his palace. Greed, not satisfied with his whole bunch of women, he has to have one more, his neighbor's wife. Another illustration. Do you remember the story, boys and girls, of Elisha? Naaman the leper comes down, and he is told that he has to dip himself 7 times in the dirty pond called the Jordan. He doesn't like that very well. I've got better water up north. But he goes. And he is so thankful, he wants to somehow repay Elisha for what he has received. Elisha says, no. Nothing. Because Elisha wants him to know that this gift, this healing came not from Elisha, but from God. That he might know that God and serve that God. And poor Gehazi, Elisha's servant, thinks, what a shame. What a shame. All those garments and all that gold that he's willing to give and he's going to take it back home. I might as well have at least a little bit of it. And so he tells that lie, doesn't he? He tells Naaman, whoa, hold a minute. Stop. Don't go all the way home. All of a sudden, Elisha, my master, has got some company coming to him and he needs some of those garments and he needs some things to feed him. Greed. And then there's in the New Testament, Judas. He's the treasurer of the disciples. He has his hand already in the treasurer's bag. But when he finds out that Jesus Christ isn't going to have one of these powerful earthly kingdoms, he's willing to sell the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Greed. Where does that greed come from? God did not create that greed in our hearts. Yes, He created us with a desire for things, those things that are needful for body and soul. It's idolatry, isn't it? Where we start taking these things that we would normally want and we want to hoard them. We want more and more of them. They are made our God. We pursue them with all that we can have. And so instead of walking without any burdens, the race that is set before us, now we are weighed down with the burden of wanting something more than what we have. Living for those things, even to the hurt of others. When the collection plate comes around in the church, the Lord gets the leftovers rather than the first fruits, because there's so many things that we want ourselves and our families to have. The Apostle Paul warns young Timothy, don't be greedy for filthy lucre, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not the money, but the love, the craving for more money, more things, is evil. And so ask, beloved, as we look at this sixth besetting sin, which one of these sins at this particular time in your life is weighing you down so that you cannot run unhindered the race that is set before you? Is it pride? Is it envy? Is it gluttony? Is it lust? Is it anger? Is it greed? And there's one more to come. Sloth or laziness. What is hindering your walk? What is hindering your serving God and loving your neighbors as yourself? Are you angry with God because He doesn't give you all the things your heart desires? Are you discontent with what you do have and what He has given to you? Do you only think about yourself and you don't care about your neighbor? The sin of greed. More, more, it's not enough. Give, give. And with that besetting sin now setting before us, let's look at the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is God in all of this? Is this just conventional wisdom? The wisdom of, hey, be satisfied. Be content. But you see, this is the wisdom of God. While the name of God is not mentioned very often in the book of Proverbs, it is the wisdom of men and women, parents, those in authority, who have learned through their life lessons. They have learned and they have lived and they have tested life, lived according to the law of God. They've applied the will of God to their own lives. And now they are trying to teach the next generation these truths also. And that's why this chapter of where Augur is speaking is talking about the various generations. These men and these women who are godly people, they want the next generation to know the way to redemption because their wisdom is based upon the commandments which their covenant God has issued in His mercy. Their God says, this is the way you should live. No other gods before you. Be satisfied. So the book of Proverbs puts God in the center of our lives. Like I said, though His name is not mentioned often, it deals with life as God intended it for. That God's people may be content with what He gives them, whether they be the rich or whether they be the poor. You say, this sin of greed does not exclude anyone. The rich can be greedy, and even the poor can be greedy. So that the one person who is poor is a miser, and he's pinching every penny, not giving to his family the things that they need. Not only is this passage theocentric, then, God in charge of our life, He lays out His commandments for how to live as His children in this world. But these verses are also Christological. How can we, who were created good and who fell with Adam and Eve so that we have sinful natures that are greedy, how can that be changed? And what is shown here then in our passage is life as it's redeemed by Christ from the tyranny of sin and guilt. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't need all those things and more things to make you happy. Trust in the Lord and He will give you those things that He knows are good for you and are needed by you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We read here in the book of Proverbs 1 verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then again in Proverbs 9 verse 10, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the wisdom that is portrayed there in the first 8 chapters of the book of Proverbs is really Christ Jesus Himself. How can you and I, how can those whom Augur is speaking to, his sons, how can they be free from this besetting sin of greed? And the answer is only by wisdom. That is only by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who suffered and died in order to forgive us our sins, those besetting sins, but not only forgive us, but Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and rose again, it is now in heaven. He is the one also by His Spirit who delivers us from the power of these besetting sins. So don't come to me or to anyone else and say, well, I just can't help it. I'm a human being and that's why I'm greedy. You have been redeemed by the blood of Christ Jesus. And you are delivered from that power of these besetting sins by His Spirit and through His Word. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 that God made Christ Jesus our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And that's the only way that we as God's children can be satisfied with what God gives us, can be thankful for what God gives us, instead of always yearning for more. It's not enough. Proverbs points forward to Christ Jesus, anticipates the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that work of grace, by showing life as Christ redeems us and renews us. Oh, how wonderful we are delivered from the perdition and the destruction that the fool runs after. What a blessed state the gospel brings us to. We are new creatures. And we don't make our cars our idols. We don't make our bank accounts our idols. We don't make our houses our idols. Unlike the poor fools of the world who are always yearning for bigger and better, never content. As God's children, we trust in His wisdom, in what He has bestowed upon Him, and are called to be satisfied. It is enough. How happy I am. And as a heart about to falter, thirsting, you and I, instead of thirsting after the things of the world, thirst after our God in Christ Jesus. My heart thirsts after God in His Christ. We're not living just for ourselves, and we're not living for the things of this world. That's idolatry. Augustine said, and I quote, "Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our hearts are never beat rest with rest until they rest in Thee. Child of God, do you have that blessedness? Are you able to say with the songwriter, whatever your different situations are, it is well with my soul. I am satisfied. God is good. And I need nothing more than who He is and what He gives to me. What a beautiful state of contentment, of peace, of rest. The Lord Jesus teaches us, doesn't He, that we cannot serve God and mammon. Either your heart is going to go out for the one or for the other. And what is my heart yearning for? Each day of the week, each week of the year, each year of our lives. Jesus warns, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Luke 12, verse 15, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Oh, happy, happy delivered child of God. We are weaned from our old nature, our old sinful nature of indulgence. We are being disciplined by our Father's yoke upon us. We are satisfied with the abundance of our Father's love for us. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to say about his life, whether I abound or if I suffer needs, I am full and I abound. Philippians 4, 12 and 18. So, beloved, as we look at these sins presented before us, you and I are called to examine. At this particular junction in your life, which sin is trying to get a hold of one of your legs and weigh you down from running the race that is set before you, living as a child of God here in this world? What this means, first of all, you and I need to make a personal application. This is not just some good advice that one can take or not take. This is not something that is given to unbelievers. They're unable to hear this word of God. The point here is that whatever lives in the heart shows itself in our conduct. So you and I have to look at our conduct, our daily conduct. Am I satisfied with what God has given me, where God has placed me? Or am I looking over, yearning for something else? Wanting more money, wanting a nicer house, wanting a faster car. Am I content? Or am I greedy? Is my life, as I look at it, is it looking for other things, going that way instead of the narrow way that leads to life eternal? You and I read these Proverbs and we use it in faith and in gratitude for a life that is redeemed from these sins. These powers no longer should hold over us. And if we find these desires for more and more and more, we need to take the Word of God and say, stop it. Stop yearning for more and more. Be content. Pray. Bring your life before God who searches and knows, Psalm 139, our hearts and our thoughts. There must be, beloved, a big gap between the fools of the world who are living in their selfish, greedy lives, unredeemed by Christ Jesus, and the way that you and I conduct our lives. Be taught by God. Be wise unto salvation. This proverb that we have before us, and all the proverbs, have to be used in faith for the redemption of our life through Christ Jesus and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. Ask, what is my life all about? No one else can ask those questions. Each of us have to ask it personally, and it's between us and our God. He knows. And if you find your heart hankering after more and more of the world's goodies, more and more money, be warned. And in prayer, bring that sin before the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and lay it down there. For He suffered and died to take away, to take upon Himself all of those sins. He suffered the wrath of God in your and my place. But He died not only to forgive us, but He died and rose again from the dead so that by His Spirit He might empower us by His Spirit and Word to fight all of these sins. He delivered us from the power of that sin to hold us down like a chain. So ask, what is my pursuit? What is my inmost longing and yearning? What is going to satisfy me? The things of this world? Or is it my relationship with God in Christ Jesus, my Savior and my Lord? Where I may talk with Him, listen to Him, walk with Him every day of my life. What fruit is there going to be in our life if we fight this sin of greed, if we cut it off? Two things. Whether rich or poor, fight this sin of greed. And the fruit will be contentment. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Proverbs 23, verse 4. We read in Proverbs 15, verse 27, that houses will be in trouble when greed, the man will trouble his house. The fruit is contentment. We will say, it is well with my soul. The Lord is wise. The Lord is good. But not only contentment, but also liberality, isn't it? Liberality. Instead of keeping all of what we earn for ourselves, when the kingdom causes come, when our Christian school is soon going to open its doors again, there are needs to be met, financial needs. Will we give from our abundance? Will we give liberally? Will we give as the first fruits, trusting that the Lord will take care of our other needs? Or will we give what's left over after the week of fun and games and all the things that we hanker after? The soul of the wicked desireth evil. Proverbs 21, verse 10. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. I don't care about how my fellow saints are doing. I'm keeping what's mine, mine, because I want more. Oh, that sin of greed, may it not take hold of your or my hearts and lives. Are you satisfied with what God has given you? Is there contentment and joy in those things? Or do you find a spirit, as we've read here in God's Word, it's not enough. It's not enough. I need more. Oh, child of God, do not worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Do not be worried about what raiment you're going to wear. If God takes care of the birds of the air and the flower of the field, will He not take care of all your needs? Contentment and liberality in our giving. Amen. Father in heaven, how easily these sins beset us on our journey to heaven, luring us away from that narrow path to the broad path that leads to destruction. Plant our feet, we pray, upon that narrow road so that we will say no to these sins, and now especially the sin of greed. Where all the advertisements that are bombarded to us saying that we deserve more and bigger and better. May we look at the things that Thou hast given us and be content and be liberal, giving our gifts, our monies, to help others in love. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus and by His power. Amen.